Great to have you here. Hey, we are wrapping up a series that we've been calling Shockwaves. And if you've been here for the last few weeks, you know that these topics, they are literally just that. They're shockwaves in our culture. We're dealing with issues from, sexuality and race and politics. And today is really, really no difference. It's not really taking a break. We're wrapping this series up, talking on the topic of violence in our culture, and something that I think so often that we can kind of just brush off. Somehow we've figured out a way to not be alarmed by it. Maybe only in the moment that we hear something's taking place, and then somehow we just kind of ignore the rest. But when we talk about violence, we think of words like these mass shootings that take place, or terrorism, hate crime, suicide, domestic violence, murder, abortion, bullying. Put bullying in there, just because it's such this crazy rampant thing that is prevalent in our culture today. And I would even go as far to say that it's not just with kids, right? That it exists in our adult lives also. And we learned something young that we learned: sticks and stones may break my bones, but yeah. So what we learned was a lie, right? We really did. We learned a lie. We learned sticks and stones, yeah, they hurt and all those words, oh, not so much. But when we talk about violence today, we're going to be talking not only on the idea that there's physical violence and emotional and verbal and, sexual violence, all kinds of aspects of violence. And while somehow we want to be able to wash our hands clean because, I've never murdered somebody, aren't you glad that I'm coming clean? I'm letting y'all know, you're like, yeah, I feel better about myself all of a sudden, but quite possibly, and even most likely, our words have been used to murder somebody's reputation. Maybe our words have been used to just tear somebody down. And we don't even pay attention to the extent, because hurt people hurt people. And so when we lash out, somehow we've figured out a way to justify it. Even though as believers in Christ, we have to face the facts that there's nothing that justifies that action. And this is part of what makes this topic today so difficult. And I want to pause, and I want to say I can also need to acknowledge that there are those of you today that you have lived out the hurts of violence in your own life. There are those that have dealt with domestic violence and all kinds of different areas of violence, verbal and all those sorts of things. We have to also recognize that there are some that could be sitting here today that you are that violent person. You are the one that everybody fears in your family. And I want to be able to speak to both sides. I want to be able to speak to every one of us today to recognize that we all have to take responsibility for the lives that God's given us. And if you're that perpetrator, you're that violent one, that you need to find forgiveness and healing in your life. You don't need to walk out of here today the same. And if you're that one that's been hurt, and maybe even is being hurt, I want you to know you've heard just a few minutes ago about Celebrate Recovery. It's a great place to start. In your outline, we've listed other resources to get help if that's what's necessary, where you're at. We care about you. So come talk to us. Let us pray with you. Let us help you find help. If you're finding yourself in this situation, violence is something that is prevalent in our culture, and you can write this down: is that we have to recognize the reality of violence in our world. We've got to be able to recognize that it exists in so many ways and forms. I was appalled to read an Alabama state representative said this just a couple of weeks ago dealing with the issue of abortion. He said, some kids are unwanted, and so you kill them now or you kill them later. You bring them into the world unwanted, unloved, you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now or you kill them later. That's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting to think that minds travel that road. And that somehow we're missing out on God's perspective on people. But we are all guilty that so often we get hung up on issues that are issues, but they're not the issue. You get that? Right? Don't make me repeat that. I'll get myself confused, you know? That we recognize that while gun control can assist in certain things, gun control's not the issue. That we got to recognize and go further back to recognize that there is a heart that is absent from God. Right? That they've not, you know, invited God into their life, you know, to see that there's a different life. And somehow we have this incredible ability to judge people who do these crimes and these shootings and these different things, but not to acknowledge that they are made in God's image just like we are. And so we find ourselves on this difficult end. And as I paid attention to the news, which I seldom do, because of the negativity. These last few weeks, you'll see them up on the screen. Just these are screenshots from my phone of, here's a guy who killed a puppy with a hammer here locally. Here's a guy, two guys that would go up, it was a 7-hour crime spree, that they'd go up to convenience stores, find people wearing gold chains, they'd show their gun, punch the guy to stun them and take their gold chains. Here, down in Los Angeles, over 1,000 guns and even more ammunition was found in this upscale home. Here in Fresno, just this past week, we had our third domestic homicide. But Fresno is on track for 9,000 domestic violence crimes this year. Here's a young lady. The headline said, gunman opens fire in North Fresno on this woman. God bless her and her family. Goodness. Now, if you don't know what Twitter is, Twitter, you know, is a way that people express all kinds of things. But with Twitter comes this idea of liking and retweeting, basically restating the same thing. And so on Twitter, there's these pictures of these unborn children. And on the left, the retweet said this, OMG, what is that thing? Kill it. And that retweet was retweeted, or that tweet was retweeted some 36,000 times. The next one says this, I wonder if I throw it against the wall, if it will stick. You don't think these are violent words? And this too was retweeted thousands and thousands of times. Here's an article from just a few days ago of this girl who had a social media dispute, and she went to take care of it with a gun and she shot up the wrong house. Here's one that the man was working on his car, you know, next to the curb there at his house, and he was shot while he was working on his car. And of course, you just heard just the other day of a shooting, 12 killed in Virginia Beach. And our minds go places. We think things that we shouldn't think. Somehow or another in our minds, sometimes when we find out that the person committing this, you know, atrocious shooting or whatever it might be, we find out they were killed too, and somehow we feel better about it. But there are times when a group of people are shot and killed, and somehow or another, we won't include the shooter as one of them that are killed. Somehow or another, or dead, you know, somehow or another, it's like this many were killed, and we won't even include this person. We've all been there. We've thought these things. We've thought before, why this person? Why not that person? Why not? Why the good people? There's plenty of bad people in this world that we don't even need. We thought these things. I thought them. It's probably important for me to be honest. I'd like for you to be honest. So these are things that are taking place, and yet this is how our minds somehow wrap around this issue. Plain and simple, here it is. We just got to, you know, cover some things. And so write this down, is that we need to resist turning a blind eye. We got to resist turning a blind eye. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 in the Message paraphrase. It says this. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Isn't that powerful? To recognize that somehow or another, we have learned to just, this is the word of God, to just go along with the flow. We've figured out ways to make something not a human and God issue, a heart issue, you know, kind of thing, but to make it a political issue. But at the bottom of every political issue, there are hearts. There are humans that are all created in God's image. And so somehow we miss that. It goes on and says this, so don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily, I'm just going to pause and say, because your action, look, if you're not changed from the inside out, you can behavior modify all you want, right? But that doesn't mean you're a changed person. Just means you change some behaviors. There's got to be a change that takes place on the inside. This is where God dwells in us. It says you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he, God, wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike, listen to this, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. Now, that's a powerful passage. And we can say amen, which is acknowledging, we agree. But what we have to acknowledge is that we are agreeing to the idea that we have bought into a lie. The church is exactly what God meant to be out changing this world. Not coming here for a little happy huddle. Not so that we can mount our guns to go attack on social media. That's never been the way. That it's verbal, it's our lives, it's face to face, it's eyeball to eyeball, knee to knee, it's hand holding, it's caring for this person that sits in front of me. And to recognize that there is hurting in this world, and that if all we're doing is judging it, we're just in the same contempt as the person committing the crime. And so violence is rampant. It's crazy. And I'm afraid that too many that say they are believers in Christ are a part of it, and quite possibly a part of it by doing simply nothing. Our inaction is action. Amen. I mean, I trip out, man. Paul used to get the daylights beat out of him. I say used to, you know, kind of, you know, well, long time ago, there's this game, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, you know. You know, you're like, who's Paul? Your brother? What? The Apostle Paul, he went from a violent life to a radical conversion with Jesus Christ. Amen. An inside-out conversion. So much that he had to have a buddy go to church with him, to these churches, because they all feared him because he was violent towards Christians. So he had to have his buddy Barnabas going with him, going, no, he's different, man, he's different. Because they're all outside going, nah, he ain't coming in, forget that. Okay, first of all, this, you guys are glad that you're at this service because I didn't say any of this in the last couple services, all right? So the longer the day goes, the better I get, let me tell you, all right? Better or worse, I don't know which one, but listen. Listen, Paul, who's the Barnabas? Who has such knowledge of a person's conversion because you've been working with him that you're bringing him into the church going, hey, man, this one's redeemed. This one's been changed, right? Hey, here's my friend. They know Jesus. Because that's the idea. That's how we're going to combat violence in our culture. Amen. You can't talk violence without understanding that in our political conversations that are happening all around us is the topic of abortion. And let me just tell you some simple things. Since 1973, with the Roe v. Wade decision, some 61 million abortions have taken place in our country. 61 million, just under 61 million abortions. Let me just kind of put some perspective into this. I started looking and going, what the heck, you know? I looked at all of our men and women who have served in the armed forces and died during combat in all the wars, right? Because we say, hey, bring them home. We don't want another person dead. We don't want, you know, we're not into this. We shouldn't be in this war. We this. Check it out. Almost 722,000 men and women have died in war. And 61 million have been aborted. Let me just give you this perspective. If we were to take a moment of silence, typically is 1 minute. If we took a moment of silence for all the soldiers who've died during war, we'd be silent for 1 year and 4 months. If we took a moment of silence for every child aborted, we'd be silent for over 100 years. I'm not on a side. This isn't a take a side. I'm saying there are people, they say some 800,000 a year. And all I'm saying is this, is that we've got to be willing to come alongside people and minister to them and care for them and bring them love and bring them hope and help them understand, no matter what topic we're dealing with in this world of violence. If it's somebody who's struggling because they're words, you might be a person that your family fears you because you speak such violent words. And they're afraid to even look at you right now. Listen, man, you can't hide behind the fact that you're here today. You need to find forgiveness. You need to find hope in Jesus. Man, you're a fake. But hang in there. Don't leave. Hang in there, man. I want to pray with you afterwards. I know other people that are willing to pray with you. And let's start this process of healing. And for those that have been hurt and been brutalized and violent attacks against them and things, let me tell you, man, I want you to find hope and healing. Hit this. We care about you. You're a vital component to this world because you are God's child. And it matters. So not only do we want to resist turning a blind eye, but number two, we want to resist dismissing our own desires. Our own desires. And James chapter 4 kind of lays that out where it's like, hey, I've not murdered somebody, so I'm good. You know, here's what James says. What's causing all the quarrels and fights among you? Hey, did anybody have any of those quarrels or fights on the way to church today? Ooh, right? Some did. I didn't. Because I drove separate from my wife, all right? You know, the church parking lot's filling up with all these solo drivers, you know, kind of thing. Like, yeah, but we're having total peace in our families now, so it's amazing, you know, right? I haven't been angry today, but I haven't been on Herndon, you know, kind of thing, right? Isn't that amazing? Somebody came up to me and told me this little joke this morning. They said, the little girl comes up to her mom and says, Mommy, how come only idiots drive when dad's driving, you know, right? And it could be reversed in your family, okay? You know, it's not, you know, we're not saying all, you know, right? But this is the reality. James says, hey, these quarrels and fights among you. And we can acknowledge that. Like, we're okay. Like, yeah, we get into it here and there, you know, whatever. And then he says this. He goes on and starts talking tougher, man. I love James. He says, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? And that is a bit more painful. It's like we're okay in our marriages to go, yeah, we talk passionately sometimes. And we have all these little things, you know, kind of thing. He says, doesn't it come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. Goodness. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Can I just tell you kind of an interesting little, you know, can I just say, you know, what do you think goes on in our nursery over here? Right? Like the little kids, right? You're constantly saying, what, you got to share that. Share that with little Johnny, you know, and, you know, they push him down and take their toy, you know. You never thought of your kids in this passage, did you? You know, like, oh, they're perfect little babies, you know. No, they're growing up to be just like you. Right? Because because they hear your dinner conversations. Right? They hear you on the phone when you come home from work. Right? Right? I mean, these are real things. We're just being honest today, right? We're in this together, right? And so we recognize this, right? Now, let's be clear. I just want to share with you a few passages that are going to kind of help us understand everything about today, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says this. So God created man in his own image, right? In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Listen, we're saying we're created in God's image. It's critical to remember that thought for today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, it says what? You shall not. So we understand murder is a no-no. We got that. Anybody didn't already know that? Then Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, it kind of gets a little bit deeper with all that. It says, you've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, but whoever murders, it says, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Do you see, is there like a JK right after that? Oh no, God's like, yeah, I was just kidding, right? Nah, I'm just playing. I know that would be too hard on you. Doesn't say that. So do you understand? Like when we're gonna talk about violence now, all of a sudden we're gonna level this playing field for today. Okay? Because we've all found ourselves in these situations. Okay, now check this out. So he goes on and says, but I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother, insults, you know, right? Sarcasm, like, that, you know, that's usually like an insult, you know, kind of, right? Right? It says, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And check this out. Anybody who says you fool or you idiot will be liable to the hell of fire. Now check this out. This is pretty strong words. And I joked about being on Hernan, but it's what happens, right? Like we find ourselves just getting worked up, you know, kind of thing. It's amazing. And so here it is in Matthew, just kind of laying this out, just being clear with us. Like before we start pointing a finger, right? Now you got a big old log hanging out of your eye. Everybody sees it, okay? Deuteronomy 32, 35 says, vengeance belongs to me. And I will repay. So that kind of takes that one out of our playbook, right? Well, they did it to me and I'm not, you know, they're not going to get away with that, right? Yeah, we have better words. We say it differently. Yeah. But back in Genesis chapter 9, I didn't put this in your outline. You can just write it there, Genesis chapter 9. Check it out. But this is after the flood. And God's talking to Noah and his sons, and he's kind of giving them the big picture of how valuable each human being is. He's kind of reestablishing, right? Because everything was wiped out. So this is it. So if we're gonna rebuild, you gotta rebuild with the right things, the right perspective, right? Kind of thing. And what he's really getting at is why is human life sacred, right? You know, that's what he's basically establishing in this passage, that human life is sacred. Now why? And just write these things down real quick. First one is that it's priceless. Human life is priceless. There's no price tag you can put on a human life. And yet somehow or another in our minds, check this out. In our minds, we put price tags on people. because we can somehow in our mind justify this person with this background being shot and killed, and somehow he deserved it compared to this person was actually innocent. Now, I get that there's guilty and innocence. I get it. But I'm wanting to speak bigger to you today. I want you to understand a larger picture, that we are so fragile and stepping out of our lane as a human being created in God's own image to decide what's valuable and what's not when it comes to lives. I don't even know how to illustrate, right? I was thinking of all kinds of illustrations of something that's just, that you can't even put a price tag on. And every time I'm like, well, yeah, but I know people who think this and who'll do this and what, you know? I thought about like a diamond ring that belonged to like, you know, great, great, great grandmother or something, you know, and it's been passed on through the generations, you know, and somebody says, my gosh, that's beautiful. I'd love to buy that. But you know, you'd say absolutely not, you know, it's not for sale. You know, it's priceless. It means so much to me. And, you know, some of us are sitting there going, I'd sell it. You know, how much? Right? You know, kind of thing. Right? And this is why it's like, what's priceless anymore? Right? You know, and it's crazy. But it's this idea that it's priceless. But God's like, hey, rich or poor, man, it doesn't matter. Check this out. You'll see it on your outline. You can't put a price on it. It's infinite in value. Listen, write this down. Every single human life is infinite in value. Every single human life. Amen. That's a hard one. The second reason, not only that it's priceless, but it's not yours. It's not yours. Why is human life sacred? Man, it's not yours. It's sacred because it's not yours. God's asked you to live this life and invest your life. Like if somebody gave you 10 grand, and I'm totally up into this, okay? Like if you just want to give me 10 grand just for funsies, like I'm totally cool with that, all right? But if somebody gave you 10 grand just for fun and hey, we just love you, you know, or you're obnoxious and we want you to be quiet, whatever. You know, it's like, hey, you do with it what you want. There's nothing sacred about that money. You do whatever you want with it. But if somebody gives you 10 grand and says, I need you to invest this for me. This is gonna be my children's education fund or whatever, you know, I need you to invest this. Now all of a sudden you've become responsible for it. It's not yours. You now have a responsibility to take care. Matter of fact, there's a parable. You guys know that? There's a parable in the scriptures, right? A farmer gave three guys money. Anyway, check it out. It's in there. I don't have time. So it's not yours. You are now responsible for it. That your children are not yours. They're God's. And you're responsible to raise them. Not to be good kids. Because I've said this before, good just means you probably haven't been caught. All right? You know what I mean? Like everybody thought I was a good kid when I was in high school. Even people at church thought I was a good kid. Had them fooled. Like many, I actually know some of you. You've been through youth ministry here with me. I know you weren't a good kid in high school, all right? You know, like, you can't even lie about it. Your parents still trying to lie about it, but you can't, all right? What happens? This becomes a trap. I can do it. It's my life. I can do with it what I want. And then to take that a step further and to think that it somehow is okay for you to take somebody else's life or to verbally destroy somebody and murder their reputation in business, whatever it might be. Wow, that's pretty gutsy, right? It's not yours. Listen. You're held accountable to God. You can write this down. You're held accountable to God for every life that comes into your presence and how you treat them. That's what you're held accountable for. So when you go to the grocery store, right, and they're checking you out, or maybe they're not checking you, they're checking your groceries out, they're not, I don't know. I feel like they're checking me out all the time, okay? You know? Oh my gosh, I don't even know. Maybe they're not checking you out, but I don't know the right term, all right? So they're checking your groceries out. Is that better? But if it makes you feel better, they're checking you out. That's cool too, right? So anyway, now I totally lost my train of thought. Every human being. So at the grocery, you know, like you know they work there. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what just happened before they got to work. You don't know why they're looking down today. It's not just that, you know, avocados maybe are going to cost more, you know, kind of thing. It's not that. It's something larger. So why don't you care for them? Why don't you reach out to them? Why don't you have a relationship further than just money and long receipts? You know what I'm saying? Like the banker, the people you work with, the people in your neighborhood, right? Like to recognize like that it matters in a bigger way. That we are accountable for every life that comes into our presence and how we treat them. So even when you turn a blind eye to the person out in front of 7-Eleven, just because you turned a blind eye doesn't mean you're not responsible. Now, am I saying that you've got to, you know, do everything and give them money? And that's up to you and God. But I'm going to tell you something that I can say. That you darn well better treat them like the human that they are, created in the image of God. Amen. And ignoring them is not okay. We judge people. I'm guilty. We're in this together. Hold me accountable. Okay? This is a real thing, and this is painful in our culture. And you're going, hey, I thought we were talking about violence. We are. We're seeing how this takes place in so many ways, right? And how we have to be responsible in it. The third thing I want you to write down is that every human being is made in the image of God. We stated that. Every human being is made in the image of God. So that literally means, and you can write this down, is that it literally means divine glory rests on every human being. Divine glory. Even before they accept Christ, they are created in God's image. And God has put his stamp on us. He's literally put his sign of ownership on us. Listen, when you violate another human being's humanness, you are literally tearing the piece of art, the picture that God has made of that person in their life. You get that? When you violate another human being, you are tearing the picture. So let's make it personal and then we'll wrap this up. First thing is you've got to manage your own anger. We sit in judgment all the time, man, watching the news and judging people. I get it. Often it's because we just haven't dealt with our own resolved junk. So we've got to deal with our anger, our issues, right? Matthew 5, we read this. You know, you've heard it. You've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder, but if you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you're even angry with someone, let's be honest, we've got to go back and do some work in us. We can't just be pointing the finger at everybody else because we can be angry in our family, but nobody else knows about it. It's not a public thing. Like, that matters? Not at all. We've got to manage our own anger, our own issues. The second thing is this, is that we must maneuver our own life into the lives of others. And if I had a favorite point, it's this. We must maneuver our life into the lives of others. That means that we take an active role in being involved, in investing in other people's lives. You know, Jesus spoke about if the only people you're willing to help are people that can help you back, what have you done? What about those you don't know? What about spending time? What about investing in elementary schools? Right? What about helping at a junior high school? High school. Go be lunch duty. Go be this. Go be that. Why? Because they're opportunities to invest in people's lives. Amen. Get them before they're acting out. Get them before they're beating the crap out of somebody. Right? Because as soon as they do it, I had a junior high fight. I was at Rio Vista a couple years ago, and I had a fight. These two girls started fighting right in front of me. These two little girls. They started throwing blows and pulling hair right in front of me. Now, there's a side of me that wants to step back and laugh and go, oh, I want to see how this ends. Like, they can't hurt each other. You know what I mean? Like, this is ridiculous. But I don't know. My better instinct kicks in, you know, kind of thing. And so I step in, but they're two little girls. I don't want to start grabbing people and grabbing things, and I'm in trouble. And so I kind of put my largeness in between them. Next thing you know, I'm getting punched in the back of the head. It didn't hurt a bit. It was actually comical to me. But what did bother me was the hair pulling, right? And not mine, but they were pulling hair across. I had hair all over me, man. I think long hair, like floating hair, is just gross, all right? Like, you know, if you pull it out and you're like doing this, I'm like, I don't even like it, you know? And so it's all over, and I'm just like, what is this? And we get them separated, and it's like, find out that they're fighting over because one girl talked to the other girl's ex-boyfriend. That's confusing. You know what I mean? But you know how it goes. You know how it goes because, you know, we're adults and we do the same thing. So here it is, right? So listen, it's really not funny we just kind of unraveled the problem. You guys get this, right? So we can be frustrated with this younger generation. They're so disrespectful. They're so this, they're so that. They learned it from you. They're just mastering it better than you. I spent 25 years as a youth pastor. I had my own callous moments, families and everything else. Are you kidding me? You want me to help you? You freaking jacked up your whole family. Now I'm supposed to help? What am I supposed to do? I don't even know. I don't even know what just got said. Here's all I'm saying. It's every one of our responsibilities to invest in other people's lives. There is no family that doesn't need investment, including mine. There's no husband that's got it nailed down. I know Instagram says he's the best husband in the world, best dad in the world, best everything in the world. I get it, but we all lie. It's just because it's their birthday. Right? Right? You know, and what else are we going to say? This guy sucked? You know? How do I post a picture with that, you know? We're living in a crazy world where somehow or another we're okay with babies being killed. We're okay with mass shootings. We turn a blind eye. We judge the people doing it. And I get there's mental health issues. There's all these things. Here's what I'm saying. We must invest our own lives into other people. There are so many ways for this to be done. You don't even need to ask me. Make one up, but do it, okay? Do it. I had a guy come out to me the other day. He goes, hey, I do a lot of mentoring at elementary schools. I said, email me. Let's talk. Let's figure this out. We help out at, where do we help out at? Lawless, right down the street here. Absolutely. You know, like I know. I forgot. How many schools are there, right? What's going on in the summertime? What do kids do in the summertime? They get in trouble. I was going to say bored, but trouble's, you know. Some of your kids are already out of school, I can tell, right? And then what happens? We get mad at them, right? So listen, what I'm saying is, parenting's not easy. Being adults, now you know, we're adulting. Okay, stop it with your adulting thing. Just stinking grow up. Recognize that God has put into you the ability to make an impact. You first got to make sure your heart's where it needs to be, and then you start focusing on other people and caring for other people. You don't do it as a way to make yourself feel better, because then that'll jack everything up, right? So listen, in this big picture, we've got Celebrate Recovery here at North Point Church. We've got in your bulletin ways to find healing, groups and therapy and all these kinds of things. But can I just tell you this? The action step today is go invest your lives into other people. People that can't pay you back, okay? Listen, if we want to just retire and sit on our porch in our rocking chairs, maybe the reason you're an empty nester and you're getting close to retirement is because God's calling you to throw block parties every week to invite all your neighbors to your house so that you can just invest in them. Maybe that's why you have an empty house. Maybe you need to help out a young, struggling, you know, college student and give them a place to live. And you're like, I never liked college-age people. Well, they didn't like you either because you don't like them, right? It's like a rhetorical thing. But why can't you help? The reason you can't help is because your attitude stinks, right? You're not focused on Jesus. This is where it needs to change. And then the last piece that I want to throw out is just to make sure your own heart's clean and pure. Just make sure your own heart's clean and pure. What's it say in Proverbs 4? Above all else, I love it. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Can I just say this? Listen, if all you got is crusty garment coming out of you, if Grumpy Old Men, that old movie, and number two could have been you, okay? Men or women, you know, kind of thing, then you need to guard your heart. You've let too much junk in, right? You got to be a person that's shining the light of Jesus, that's being a blessing in other people's lives, right? That's the reality. You didn't earn grumpiness just because you're old, man. You've learned the opportunity to share wisdom with people and to care for people. And so when we turn a blind eye to the violence of this world, it's reflected right back on us, that we are the ones that have been called by God to go share the light of Jesus. It's our responsibility. So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would love to invite you to come today. You can head over to the lounge. You can be prayed for over there. You can ask questions about a relationship with Jesus. I'll be out on the patio. I'd love to pray with you and answer questions. If you find yourself in difficulty because of domestic violence or any of these sorts of things, man, we want to talk to you. We don't want you leaving here today alone. You understand? And if you've got that ugly side, that you're that person that is violent and you lash out, and come talk to us because you need help and you can't hide it. You're not. Other people know. They're just afraid. Okay? So come talk to me on the patio. I'd love to help get you the help you need that you can be an effective child of God in this world. Amen. Let's bow our heads. God, thanks so much for loving us, giving us a hope and a future. Recognizing that while violence seems to just do its thing in our world, that we as your church need to be the one not calling people out, but coming into people's lives to nurture them and care for them and love them and show them the way to you. God, help us to be people that we're pained by seeing it, but we're pained into action. That we're not just gonna sit aside. I get, God, that we all have our own hurts, habits, and hangups, but I realize, God, that you want to take those and use those for your glory. Help us to impact other people's lives through our own pain. And so we celebrate you today. And we want to take a stand for the hurting in our world and for those that are doing the hurting. In Jesus' name, amen.